It is that time again for your weekly dose of Common Sense. Common Sense Ohio, April 4, 2025. Coming up, we're going to be talking about tariffs. Intel breaks its contract with Ohio. That's going to really upset Norm, I think. Ohio's got a big beef with Doge. Sales tax on the rise. But how do we compare with Florida and Texas? We shall see. And why my dad was right. Federal judges have the most power in the entire world of anybody ever, except for maybe the Holy Ghost himself. So anyway, commonsenseohioshow.com. If you've got a topic you want us to cover, shoot us a message. We are going to jump right into it. And actually, by the way, brought to you by Harper Plus Accounting. We'll talk more about Glenn Harper and his people over there during their misery.
I hunkered down,
buried. I can just see.
Oh God!
You can just see him over there with a green hat. Anyway,
that would be something
would
Glenn
be awesome.
Would put on.
That
would
be
awesome.
He would. If I were an accountant.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. The last 10 to 5 days, put on the green hat, and just you know, drive everybody crazy.
So 4/4/25, this day in history. Some interesting stuff happened on this day. Martin Luther King assassination, of course, is the top of the list. And how do you ignore that? You can't. I mean, one of the most influential people assassinated still, but not a whole lot of controversy about that one. At least we don't have like the Kennedy files getting dropped and the conspiracy. I think we do have a lone shooter in James Earl Ray. Changed the course of history a little bit. Look, I think those who would go back and read and listen to Martin Luther King's message, it is not consistent with the message we're getting today. So I will go no further with that. I thought it was also an honorable mention. Bill Gates and Paul Allen founded Microsoft today, interestingly.
Hmm. That's another merger there, quote unquote, that kind of changed how we live.
Changed how we live.
We both have computers on the table here. Not that it's their making, but it's them.
And I am currently in my personal and professional life grappling with Microsoft versus Apple. I have a cracked screen on my PC, Norm, here, or my laptop here, and
I see that.
Yeah, and I am in the process, and you know, it's such a decisions, but anyway, so far it's Microsoft. As much as I want to love Apple, the Switch might be too much for me.
It just might be too much.
It's like at 55, it's just a little too much to ask to learn a new system.
You know, there are pros and cons to both systems. I get it. But I guess I just lean toward Apple because of the ecosystem. It just works and plays together. But once you start, you're kind of in it.
You're in it, right?
Yeah,
and
I
would be an Apple guy, but I'm going to confess, about 15 years ago, they pissed me off. I needed a new phone, and I went down to the Verizon store, which used to be down here on South High. It was on this floor. My office used to be on this floor. And I drove down there, got a new phone, came back, and did their little Apple backup or whatever, and I lost everything.
It got lost.
But now that was before I had so much on my phone. Like it wasn't as bad as it would be today.
Okay.
Because we're going way back. And, their Apple whatever backup didn't work. I'm sure it was user error.
Their cloud.
But they were forcing me into a certain way. And I don't know. It's my fault.
It still affects you 15 years later.
I shot myself in the foot, so to speak, and I went
They
down.
Should have done the backup for you in the store.
I don't remember if it was delivered to me. I can't remember. I may not have gone down and picked it up, but back in that day, we had like a Verizon guy that was bringing our phones. Maybe it was something like that. I don't know.
Man.
But anyway, I went down. I drove down to the Verizon store and said, give me, what is the other version of this?
Right.
And they handed me a Samsung Galaxy, and I've had that ever since. Now, look, that's got its own quirks and problems.
Oh, yeah.
But damn it, I'm not going to admit that I was wrong. And so I have a different color bubble on everybody's text. I can't get videos now because they're all blurry. Apple throttles them back, or I can't send videos.
I'm no tech guy, but talking to Brett has told me that it used to be you needed to have PC software versus Apple software. And I think you told me pretty much you can run PC-compatible software now on Apple.
It seems to be. Yeah, for the most part.
For the most part. So I can run my Microsoft 365. So look, I run upstairs in my office on Microsoft 365. I run the Microsoft apps. Yeah. I don't use any of the Apple stuff or any of the Google stuff. And in theory, I can run the apps right on my MacBook.
Yeah.
But the hardware is about 30% more expensive, 20 to 30% more expensive.
Right.
I'm test driving a Microsoft Surface 7 laptop.
Whoa.
And it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to go test drive an Apple MacBook Pro or Air or whatever.
Isn't that what the NFL uses, that Surface? They make a big deal about it. It's like combat resistant.
I don't know. I don't have the one. It looks like this, but okay. It's a Microsoft. And it does feel just like an app. It's like Microsoft's response to the Apple MacBook Air. It's a nice piece of hardware. But anyway, that's my internal
dilemma. Those two need to sponsor our show.
Yeah, right. No. So Apple or Bill. Bill or what's the other guy? He's dead.
Paul Allen, you're talking about?
No. The guy who founded Apple.
Oh, yeah. God, whatever.
We all know who it is.
This is where we need. Where's Troy?
Yeah, I can't even think of the guy who played him. I can't even think of the guy who played him in the movie. He married Demi Moore.
Tim something?
No. Whatever. He was That 70s show.
The German guy. Anyway.
No. All right, it doesn't matter. Off we go. News with Norm. Everybody's favorite segment, and we gave you a little bit of rundown, but now I'm curious because, Norm, you gave me the highlights. I want to hear the details.
Well, this tariffs thing, a lot of pain yesterday on the market. It went down roughly 4%, which is not a 1% or 2% correction. That's a major dive. And, if you look at your 401k, you'll be horrified, basically, across the board. People are pretty horrified. But, I'll tell you why I personally am willing to sacrifice, and I'm only speaking for myself, not my colleagues. They'll tell you how they feel. But Trump basically is trying to recraft almost a half a century of U.S. economic policy by doing these tariffs. So what are his goals? Okay, he's trying to reshore and reindustrialize the U.S. after the nightmare of NAFTA and letting China in the World Trade Organization, which was a disastrous decision, okay? And basically, they're tariffing us, but we're not tariffing them until Trump comes along and imposes pretty stiff tariffs on China. So we're trying to get our industry back. I remember Ross Perot, what's that giant sucking sound you hear? Those are your jobs going to Mexico and China. And he was right. He was right. NAFTA was a disaster. The second thing he's trying to do, Trump, is solidify our national security. So we remember during COVID, for example, there were many medications, pharmaceuticals, there were supplies or what they call PPP. They got an initial for, they got something for everything. But basically things like silicon chips for industry. You might remember during COVID, General Motors had pickup trucks they couldn't complete. And they told owners, come back when we have the chips and then your seats will work and your radio. But we don't have the chips right now. So they did crazy stuff like that. Steel, aluminum, and as I said, pharmaceuticals. We do not even have a single producer of aspirin in the United States. Just like, so if we get into either a trade war or get into a hot war with, say, China, we are thoroughly screwed. We're thoroughly screwed. And he's trying to set up our economy to where we can survive a long-term embargo like we have with Russia right now, but we don't buy much from Russia. But basically, we have no trade with Russia. If we did no trade with China, over human rights, let's say, or they invade Taiwan, oh my God, there'll be nothing at Walmart to buy if we cut off China. So it's a national security issue. And I understand fighter jets and our bombers have stuff made in communist China installed in them. And in the computers that Pentagon uses. The third thing, and then I'm done, is he's obviously trying to level the economic playing field. And this is where the UAW, which did not endorse Trump for president, is now all of a sudden his best buddy. Because what he's trying to do, India has a 100% tariff on U.S.-made motorcycles. So Harley-Davidson, Indian, some of the boutique manufacturers, it's double the price in India, right? So they don't import U.S. bikes. Germany has a 20% tariff on cars made in the U.S. Guess what our tariff is on German-made cars up until now? 2.5%, okay? 20% on our stuff, okay? And we tariff them a little over 2%. Japan, 100% tariff on rice. Canada, 100% tariff on our dairy products. So Thomas Sowell has said what Trump is doing. Thomas Sowell, we love him, 94 years old, came out on YouTube this week and said Trump is, what he's doing is an utter disaster. But what I would ask Professor Sowell, whom I love, and I regard him as brilliant, is, well, wait a minute, why aren't you telling that to the other countries that are tariffing the shit out of us? So anyway, guys.
I'm concerned about it as well, too. I think we all are at the table to a certain degree. Because, and I guess my question to both of you is, and I was thinking about this whole week, knowing that this Liberation Day, I think it's what it's called.
It's what he called it.
What he called is, okay, so it's like a 7-step process or 10, I don't know, whatever it is. And we've seen the first couple of steps of the proclamation, and now he signed it in.
Yeah.
And we know what the end result's going to be. It gets all leveled out. But when does it end?
Well,
what's
right.
the end run here? Are we talking that we bring it? So some of it is that industry comes back. Who the hell monitors that? As an example, Intel. Intel, we're just going to talk about.
Department of Commerce. That's who monitors.
And how long do we allow these? How long is this tariff going to be in place?
Well, Trump said on Air Force One yesterday, so he had one of those gaggle press conferences.
Yeah.
And he said, already, so this affects 180 other countries.
Sure.
Okay. And he said already, almost all of them have contacted the administration. They want to negotiate a trade agreement.
Okay.
Israel reduced their tariffs on U.S.-made stuff to zero.
So should have been that way in the first place for them.
What the hell? But Trump, that's what, you know.
Yeah.
And Honda was going to build that plant in Mexico. But because of the tariff threat, that it's now going to Indiana.
Well, that was in November, though.
Well, but that was a major who got elected in November?
Well, what I'm saying is that decision was before. Well, but it's happening, which is great.
He ran on tariffs.
Yeah, that was the threat of tariffs caused that.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, anyway. Yeah. But I guess it's that, okay.
Oh, we were just talking about Apple. $500 billion. They're going to start building in the U.S.
And as long because I'm not hearing, and you are, which is great. So I want the answer to the questions.
Well, there's
like,
who is monitoring?
Right, exactly. The devil in the details. Who the hell is monitoring this? That it's just not a signed piece of paper. Okay, we'll take the tariffs away, and nothing comes of this, and we feel the pain.
I just want to make sure
it's happening.
I'm with you. Look, here's the problem, and I agree with Thomas Sowell in a lot of ways, because look, on the one hand, you can look at tariffs like, I think you're looking at a more surgically norm. There's a goal and there's a plan and we're going to, it's going to be executed. And I think Brett, you're saying, if there's a plan and it's going to be executed, we monitor it and we do something about it and we make sure that we keep our fingers on the switches here. That's
we
great.
Have a terrible job of doing that, though.
Right, but
we don't do that well.
But Trump, look, I agree with almost everything he's done since he's been in an office. And it's not that I completely disagree with all these tariffs, but I completely disagree with his messaging around all these tariffs. He's bombastic about it and saying, oh, we're going to tariff. Tariffs are a wonderful thing. Tariffs are great. And everybody's thinking, well, no. I mean, maybe, yes, but why? What's the plan?
Yeah.
And, you know, Norm, you've got three reasons why you like them and why they might be a good plan. And at the same time, we're thinking, all right, so why are we in this battle with Canada? And I don't think... I think some of these you have to look at a little more nuanced. I don't think you can just say, well, Canada taxes our dairy 100%, and maybe there's a negotiating lever that way. But we're not, I guess not all products going out are equivalent to those products going in. Trade deficits aren't bad. You know, because we don't make everything, and the other countries don't make everything. So we're going to have a deficit on certain things, and they're going to have a deficit on other things. Now, cars to cars out of Germany. That makes some sense to me. Mm-hmm. Look, Germany, you're going to tax our cars at 20%. We're going to tax your cars at 20%.
Yeah.
And now we're even, Steven. Or we can both do zero. How about that?
Yeah.
And I think that makes some sense to me. And that was Trump's message in his address to Congress.
Yeah.
But it doesn't come off that way always. It's a little bit more bombastic. I'm just going to keep raising tariffs. Well, that's a trade war, and nobody wins a trade war. And that was Thomas Sowell's point. That's disastrous. And here's a bigger problem that I have with all of it. And I get the goals, and they're all great goals. But we have anybody who thinks that because the Republicans won and tended to win big across the country, and you know, maybe a rejection of a lot of this crazy stuff going on the far left, you're giving them a foothold, man. And look, sometimes you got to sacrifice a little bit of the cause to stay in power and take inches, you know, take incremental gains here. You can't do it all at once. And I fear that if this continues and the economy tanks, then we don't get reelected. And, you know, then you've lost everything. Then it's all gone. You know, so you're going for broke here a little bit. And he doesn't need to. He can do this incrementally. He can start with Germany and say, all right, Germany, look, you got 20% on BMW or 20% on Chevys, Fords, and Chryslers coming into your country. How about we just drop that, or we do the same thing on BMWs and whatever? I think they'd probably say okay. And like you said, Norm, 180 countries have already agreed. But that's not the message people are getting. It's like, yeah, we're going to tariff the F out of everybody and screw you people, and we're going to be Fortress America. It doesn't work, and that's Thomas Sowell's point. Yeah. It's never worked.
Well, Rand Paul, same way. And, you know, some of the Senate Republicans have joined with Democrats on a bill that requires the president to justify the tariffs, or the tariffs go away after 60 days.
Well, so fair enough.
So,
I like that.
Yeah.
I have not researched this.
Yeah.
I don't know the lever of power that the executive branch has to enforce tariffs. I don't know if that's a congressional problem or an executive problem. I'll look it up, or somebody else can comment and tell me. I've not done the constitutional research on it. I meant to today.
Yeah.
You know, is it something that the executive branch of government has the authority to do?
Well, I think it does, because they're not contesting his right to do it, but they're going to limit it. So that's what the point of this Senate bill is.
And I think that's good. Yeah. See, I love it when the federal government gets limited in power on almost anything, you know, or it has to answer to the other side on some things and not the other things, because then we have this sort of not a smooth balance, but just this, you know, a more delicate balance of power.
Well, let me just float a couple things. So what I see your point about, instead of doing some kind of universal one day, it all goes into effect, as opposed to country by country negotiating.
Well, that could all happen on one day, but you would say, look, Germany's got this, just like you did. Germany's got this. We're going to do that.
Well, I think
China. Now, yes. China's a different. Now, China.
And the tariff is much higher than the 10% to 20% on China. I think it's like 34%. Like, it's seriously steep.
And then Mexico. To your point, Norm, there's some snakes in the grass on some of this stuff, because you know, our cars are getting made in Mexico, but they're importing stuff from China. Like, you know, there is
that's right.
There's stuff that the others are not talking
like
about.
Like they do with fentanyl. Chinese, you know, components of this drug that's then mixed in barrels in Mexico and brought across.
That's right. So there is there's a message there that I think needs to be floated. You know, China is supplying stuff to Mexico, and then we're having to pay for that. So it's like, that's, you know, we have a different problem with China, and that requires, I think, a far more detailed strategic solution.
I think the problem that I have with the Senate bill, obviously the Congress has to ratify treaties, right? That's right in the Constitution. But on tariffs, the problem that I would have is that then when the executive, whether it's Trump or J.D. Vance or whoever down the road, if this bill were to pass, when they're negotiating, let's say, with Germany or France or England or whoever.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? Like, they got to then say, hey, this is all.
Yeah, you can't dilute the power to the point where the whoever's negotiating the tariffs can't negotiate them without approval.
And then they got to go back to Congress and get it rubber stamped, or else, I'm sorry, President Macron, you and I agree on this tariff, now I got to take it back to Congress. And if it's a political Congress that wants to make you look bad.
Well, that's the other problem.
They're going to vote it
Congress,
down.
Congress is doing whatever it can just to make Trump look bad. So they will shoot the country in the foot to make Trump look bad.
Right.
That is, or his opponents will. Right. And that's been the Trump derangement syndrome. Like, we don't care about anything good the man does. It's always horrible no matter what. And he's the worst guy that's ever lived on the planet. And he's bad. And he's
like
orange,
the Houthi
horrible
thing. He has this amazing military operation that now the Suez Canal is open again.
Right, imagine that.
To freighters.
Prices are going to start dropping.
So nobody's celebrating that. Instead, they want to talk about a guy who got on the telephone call, you know, without permission, And it's like, really?
Yeah.
That's the story? Isn't the story about how the Suez is open?
But look, I listen and watch enough to the conservatives. Like, there are people out there, no matter what Trump does, it's always right. And there are people out there, no matter what Trump does, it's always wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think, like anything in human affairs, it's somewhere in the middle. He's not always right. He's not an omnipotent Superman.
It was a mistake to have that reporter on the telephone call.
Two things are true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a security blunder of the highest order.
Maybe not the highest, but of a very high order.
Like, it was a blunder.
Right. Yes, it was.
By every measure.
Yes, it was.
And then what's his dick from The Atlantic? You know, you, dude.
Right.
Because you think that you're being Mr. Martyr. Well, I'm not going to publish what I thought was top secret stuff. Why didn't you text somebody back and say, I don't think I should be on this, guys?
Yeah.
This may be a matter of national security.
You made a
Please
mistake.
Please double check your recipients.
Yeah.
I've done that on text message. I have done that.
Yeah.
Don't think I'm supposed to be on this. There was a text in my family at one point.
Right.
Talking about me. You know, talking about me.
Yeah.
And you know, stupid, nasty, ugly, pissy family business.
Do you know what dad did? You're like, hey, guys, dad's on here.
I was like, guys, I don't think you meant to include me on this.
Yeah. And to that end, the Atlantic editor didn't publish until after all was done. So give him credit there. But no, I agree.
Yeah, but he was in the grass, like a snake in the grass, kind of waiting.
But good and bad. You're exactly
he's
right.
He's the same guy who pushed the Russia collusion hoax.
Screw that guy.
He's got a history.
That guy's intent was to create a scandal and take down Trump.
100%.
That was his intent. Because if it were Biden, I always look at this way. If it were Biden, and this happened in the Biden regime, does anybody really think for a second,
we wouldn't even know that this Atlantic guy would have said,
guys, I shouldn't be on this.
We wouldn't even know about it.
If it's under the Trump hat, that's it. And there may be, may be true the other way around, too. Right. There might be some conservative reporters that would have done the same.
Yeah.
But I know this. Nobody's asking this asshole the question, why did you stay on this?
Right.
If you're so Mr. I want to protect the country, then you get the heck off this text right now and you make sure that nobody else is on it that shouldn't be on it.
Yeah.
And you try to help.
Right.
Instead, you take it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Trump did fire three national security people yesterday.
Yeah.
And it may have something to do with that. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, look, it's a blunder. It's a huge blunder. And you can't. Yeah. So both things are true.
Yes, that's right.
Both things are true.
Both things are true at the same time. Exactly.
We've been highly critical of Trump on this show and also complimentary on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, and look, I can't say I completely 100% disagree with all the tariffs, but I do completely 100% disagree with the messaging behind the tariffs and how it's getting implemented because it's screwing up the economy. And you can say, well, it's just a correction or it's just this, it'll pass, it'll whatever. But we have this we have this like delicate balance right now where we can get some really good stuff done, and it's not worth dying on that hill.
I don't know, man. You know, so I'm thinking. So let me just say, right. Your blue-collar lunch pail worker, right, there are fewer and fewer opportunities for young men and women that do not want to get a college degree or can't afford one or don't have the aptitude, which is a terrible thing to say. But let's face it, college isn't for everybody, right? There are some people who are illiterate as adults, but they're incredibly talented at skills.
I think even closer to your point is – there are a lot of people that are very, very smart, very, very literate, capable, but hate school.
And don't function
in that school environment.
Where are they going to go get these jobs? We've offshored so much American.
I'm with you. So I agree.
So we got to go through some agony, I think.
Well, again, both things don't have to. I mean, all this can happen at once. You don't need a bombastic tariff policy.
Okay, you don't like bombast. I know the shit about Trump wanting to make Canada the 51st state.
We don't need that.
Is ridiculous.
We don't, and I understand where he's. I get it.
I get it, but it's a stupid bombastic thing.
You're giving the other side ammunition.
Dude, we're on the same page there. Yeah. So, like, that's excessive. I don't know why he's doing that.
And even JD going to Greenland. I mean, it's like, come on, guys. We're not going to invade Greenland.
Well, he did visit one of our advanced, like we have a base.
He has business there, but like it's just the messaging behind that is like, oh, we might invade Greenland. It's like
ridiculous.
I know we're not going to do that, but you're giving ammunition to the other side, and you're creating instability. People don't like that. I don't like
it. Well, and to your point, even to the, I'm going to go for a third term.
Right.
Ridiculous.
It's just, I guess I'm looking at it from the standpoint of just bombastic, bombarding us with so much.
Trying to change the.
Where is the story then?
That's right.
That all this crap around it is shiny object. But it's that, okay, but what's really going on? Because you're throwing this out here, you're distracting us.
It creates conspiracy theories, right?
It does, exactly.
It creates, Trump wants to be a king. He wants to run for president for a third term. He doesn't need to say that.
So intellectually, what I'm doing, Steve, that politically, you can't do. So what you're saying is true politically. Intellectually, what I'm doing is disregarding his bombast because I can't stand it. It's a part of Trump's personality that I cannot stand. And it actually does interfere, to your point, correctly. It interferes with his agenda by putting out distractions or making jokes or, you know, saying stuff like you said about Greenland. And the thing is, he undermined his own case there because, I think there's only like 50,000 Greenlanders. It's a tiny population. Mm-hmm. And they really have a lot of disdain for Denmark. They don't think Denmark takes care of them. Like they feel like, you know, the poor cousins, you know, out in Appalachia somewhere, and Denmark's back there having a good time, but somehow they control Greenland. So they were predisposed to be angry at Denmark, and then Trump insinuates one way or the other. We're gonna get Greenland.
And he doesn't have to do that.
Exactly.
We could have just cozied in with Greenland.
That's right.
And started to just take over, and not in a bad way.
Well, have a plebiscite, have them vote on it, like Puerto Rico votes.
Look, Greenland, we want a closer relationship. One, because you need it, and two, because we need it, right?
Right. It could be very good relationship.
We can't have our enemies patrolling outside your waters.
You don't need heavy-handedness when they're already predisposed to dislike their owners in Denmark.
But Trump is a New York real estate guy who would come in, you know,
force it.
And he's always the guy that's like, I want $20 million when he really wants $1 million because then he can negotiate it down. He's that guy.
He's that guy.
And I get it. It works it doesn't work politically.
Yeah.
That's the problem. It doesn't work politically.
And he's not really
diplomatically.
Or diplomatically. And your point about 401k, if he didn't do that, I don't think our 401ks would be dropping. I really don't, because the market hates instability and he is creating instability. I don't think by necessarily his policies, but by the way, he's messaging his policies. That's what is frustrating. It doesn't have to be this way.
It's hard to separate that, right? Because people are susceptible both to facts and the messaging.
That's right.
It's hard to disentangle.
Well, at least let's eliminate one of them from the equation.
I wish you would.
Yeah, I wish you would. Exactly.
You know, and with that point of agreement, maybe we'll talk about Intel.
Let's talk about Intel. Intel is failing.
The child of the CHIPS Act. So I think the subsidy now, if you add it all up with the CHIPS Act and Ohio's piece, it's like a $34 billion, you know, project. And Ohio has something, I think the amount is roughly $600 million of state money, one way or the other, for roads, sewers, land.
Infrastructure stuff. Yeah.
That we, the taxpayers, have paid for this project. The new president of Intel, because you may remember the previous guy left. You know, the stock went down. I think it was the 500th stock on the Dow 500 or Standard & Poor's, whatever. It was the lowest one. So their stock took a dive. They laid off 15% of all Intel employees. They've shut down other projects. And the new president said this week, the new president of Intel, not Trump, the new president of Intel said, that Ohio One, the name of the project in Licking County, is not their top focus. It's and they've broken the contract. They were to be in operation this year, 2025. They have said now they won't be ready to start production until 2030. So the 10,000 jobs that they promised, that's gone. Now they're down to like 1,800 jobs. And it's not looking so good, right?
So let's talk about this. You know, you had a government subsidy, essentially.
Yeah.
And Intel bites, takes advantage. They come to Johnstown, Ohio, without a whole lot of public notice, we'll say.
Yeah.
I mean, right. It just sort of happens.
Yeah. Jobs, Ohio, which we've talked about.
Millionaires broker, overnight.
That's right.
That people who were selling their farmland for the project.
One family, almost $1 billion if you add up the tracks. If you amalgamate what that one family sold altogether, I think it was 800 and something million dollars. Almost $1 billion.
Right. And so, look, I mean, now what? What's Johnstown look like? You live out there.
Yeah, so traffic's insane, right? The roads are getting completely crushed and deteriorated from, you know,
cement trucks,
gravel
trucks.
I mean, they are just tearing it up. There have been a lot of accidents, people going into the ditches, avoiding trucks, trucks going into the ditches. So homes have been razed, I think maybe as many as several hundred, like 300-400 homes gone, along with the forest and environmental impacts. The Mountain View, California mayor, who has a Superfund site left over from when Intel had a plant out there, has warned Johnstown and anybody else doing business with Intel that they'll tell you it's going to be a clean production. Well, he's got a Superfund site in Mountain View, California. Mm. You know, so it's not all good news.
And there's more, right? Well, and there's probably some good too, but there's more. I mean, you've got people, so.
Yeah, so Dave Yost, our AG, who's kind of like the attorney for the state of Ohio, if you want to look.
Is the attorney for the state of Ohio.
Yeah, yeah. You know, looking at it that way. He did not write the contract with Intel. Jobs Ohio and Governor DeWine did, right? Mm. And Yost analyzed the contract since they've broken the contract. What normal people would do when you break the contract is claw back the money, right? Like you didn't keep the deal. He said the contract is written in such a way, he issued a press release, Yost, and he said the way it's written, it's a one-way deal. We cannot claw back the money.
Are we surprised?
No, I'm not surprised.
No, not a bit.
But there's a couple other points that are bad, or one other point that's bad. So, because I know this from talking to people out there, what's happening is, on the one hand, house prices are going up. So you get all these people who's like, oh, gosh, my house is now worth triple what it was yesterday. But then the problem is other people's houses have gone up too, which means they can't afford the taxes. You know, their incomes haven't gone up commensurate with what they now owe in property taxes. And that's trouble. So people got to bail. You know, it's good. They make money on their house. It's bad. They got to go pay for another house. Yeah. Yeah, they got to uproot and move because they can't afford to keep their house.
They can't keep their house. Right.
On the other hand, you know, businesses, you know, the restaurants are probably doing better. There's,
well, one closed, the major one closed.
Did it? Yeah.
It was probably a victim more of COVID than anything.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Long-term effect.
I was out there and, you know, things appear, you know, the stores are crowded. So there's good and bad.
Yeah.
The point is that it didn't happen naturally. And when things don't happen naturally in the economy,
that's right,
you can almost always find problems.
That's right.
Like Intel didn't say, let's look at a map here of the United States of Johnstown. That's a perfect place for us. Let's go there.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Artificially sited. Right. Based on goodies, incentives.
Right, we paid it. We paid for it.
That's right.
We paid for it. So, you know, and now imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Well, and it also begs the question, who wrote the contract, really?
And why?
Yes.
So Jobs Ohio and DeWine did not write this contract.
Well, they wrote the contract
But Intel basically had the final say on it, if it's all one way.
Well, it had to be agreed to,
right.
And it's a one-way contract.
Yeah. So you might as well say Intel wrote it then.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately.
Essentially, they can break the contract and still get the money.
It's insanity.
All right, it's insanity. Intel breaks its deal.
Yep.
Now the laptop I'm trying out, by the way, is a Qualcomm. I think it's a Snapdragon Qualcomm chip. I don't think it's an Intel processor.
Well, it goes
And the Macs have their M4s.
M4s, yeah, exactly. Well, and it goes back to our very beginning of this show is that, okay, great. We bring these, we need the chips. We want to make them locally. And we screwed the pooch here. Something happened.
Now we
can't get the chips made
it.
Again.
We paid for it. So I think, and maybe I meant to say this when we were talking about tariffs too. It's a great turn. It's a great circle back because, you know, there might be other ways to incentivize this stuff by like not disincentivizing these things. So for instance, when the other side is hammering about corporate taxes, corporates, they just got to pay their fair share. Well, they're going to go to like Ireland where they're not going to have to pay their fair
exactly.
share. They're going to go to China where they don't have to pay their quote fair share.
Yeah.
So let's just let them come here and not tax the crap out of them and not regulate the crap out of them. And then I think you can create an incentive to reshore Ohio business
that way.
Under
Trump's first administration, when he did that corporate tax cut,
it worked.
That's exactly what happened.
It worked. Ireland did it. It worked.
They took their money out of these foreign banks. They brought it back to America because they weren't going to get taxed on it.
They weren't going to get taxed and they weren't going to get regulated.
Yeah.
And they didn't have to worry about some three-letter agency crawling up their backside. I think that would have far more impact than paying a chip company to build a place in Johnstown.
Well, so I'll go back to our hero, Thomas Sowell, who generally, 99.9, I'm on board because I have a small brain. He has a very big one, and he's way smarter than me, economics genius, wrote like 200 books. And anyway, but his thing would be on this, I am sure. This is a situation where the government picked winners and losers.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They decided under the CHIPS Act, this company gets this, and this company doesn't.
Mm-hmm. So why is Intel better than Qualcomm?
That's
or
right.
better than whoever. Apple, whoever's
or
making Apple
Or you and I
silicone.
Starting up a chip mm-hmm. company. Maybe you and I go.
Right. You were eliminating competition.
That's right.
Eliminating competition with your government finger on the scale.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Solyndra, hello? Yeah, I mean, we could name like 500 companies, all these EV companies that the government set up that all went bankrupt.
And all their cronies made lots of money.
Lots of money.
Yeah.
So another interesting thing that's going on, again, the trickle-down effect of Doge-inspired cuts to things like the Department of Education and what have you, is around Ohio, public libraries, colleges, private and public, police departments, fire departments, they're all wigging out, right, over the loss of federal supplemental funds, right? And they got used to that, like under COVID, because municipalities were having a hard time sustaining their police and fire departments. Somehow the federal government got involved in what is exclusively a local matter, in my opinion, funding police and fire departments for extra personnel. Like, that's bizarre to me. And then, of course, when the subsidy runs out, the locality can't maintain those employees.
This is ridiculous. This is like, look, again, the government's putting its thumb on the scale. The scale's going to adjust to whatever it is the government's giving them. And then when the government gives out, they're going to say, wait a minute, we can't function without this. Well, you didn't learn how to.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Right.
You didn't learn how to.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're in a house you can't afford, you got to move. You got to change something.
Right. Or you buy a car that you can't afford the upkeep. You're going to have to buy.
You got
to
buy a different car.
A different car. Yeah.
And it may be you might have to get the Civic instead of the German tariffed.
Right.
A couple shows ago.
The German tariff BMW.
You know, the schools are screaming bloody murder, too. And a couple shows ago, you guys had our sponsor, Glenn Harper, on. And Glenn, and you guys had a great discussion about education funding. And it's amazing the number of people, even highly placed people, like George Bush's former White House spokesperson, Dana Perino, was on The Five, which is a Fox show.
Mm-hmm.
And she blurted out that it was a federal responsibility constitutionally to educate children.
Yeah, that's insane.
And I'm like, Dana, my God.
It's not even that.
It's not in there at all.
It's not.
It would be like, to me, it's like it is the parents' responsibility to educate their children. And then from there, we have delegated at the local level our schools.
It is in Ohio's constitution.
Right. I got it, but that's because we had that responsibility. We're going to delegate it locally.
And we made it part of our constitution.
That's right.
Right.
Like, it is not a federal.
That's
lunacy.
But this is what people
That is a path to destruction.
And
you heard it here first.
In every part of life now, we have the federal government somehow involved, and this is the whole idea, Doge, is to get to get the responsible parties back into the family home, right? Where they should decide things like, you know, hey, what's your gender? You know, like work that out as a family in conjunction with your doctor and your therapist and all that. How is that a school function is beyond me, right?
Yeah, or a federal function.
Much less a federal function.
Yeah, no, and I think, you know, the DOGE stuff with all the cuts and everything else, it's like, you know, we have created this, anybody who's done any work with government entities, and I have quite a bit, being a criminal defense lawyer, I've dealt with all sorts of government entities.
Yeah.
Look, the state of Ohio has like the Department of Public Safety that employs hundreds of lawyers, I think. I don't know how many. Over 100.
Oh, I'll bet.
And, you know, they're all making six figures probably. And what are they doing? And, you know, and then you start to extrapolate that out. And I'm not, people become entitled to that job because
sure.
they've got it.
Right.
And it's a very, very difficult thing to crowbar the funds away from that. But if somebody like Elon Musk goes in, or anybody, I don't care, any green-hatted accountant goes in with a pencil and a notebook and starts looking at the money and where it's going and what it's all about,
yeah.
they're going to start cutting people. So look, yeah. I did this in the last 2 years of my own personal financial world. I decided, all right, I'm going to figure out where all my money's going.
Yeah.
Anybody who's ever like subscribed or done that, like you start looking at your statements and the debits that are going out, you're like,
well, when did they sign up for that?
This is yeah. insane.
Do I really need it. Netflix
yeah,
or whatever?
Right.
Do I need Netflix, Amazon, yeah. Hulu, right. blah, 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 plus this one over here. This
yeah.
is like, what the hell is that? I don't even know what that is. And, right. you know, I've got like an old email account that I'm paying $7 a month for. It's like, look, I cut it off. I cut
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I have people working for me in this building doing stuff. And I'm like, I don't really need that. I'm cutting it. They don't have a right to that job. They don't have a right to that job. And
like this is a
it
little,
it doesn't mean I'm not empathetic for people who are losing
right.
their jobs,
right.
but you don't get it just because you have it.
Well, this is
it's
a little,
it's got to make sense.
This is a little thing, but like to your point, Steve, when they got down to the granular level in some of these departments, they were finding out like, as a way to funnel money to some NGO or to some media outlet that's favorable to the Biden administration, what they were doing was buying like a subscription, online subscription for everybody at the Department of Transportation to say like the Atlantic or the New York Times.
And of course they think they need it.
Well,
because
sure,
they're getting it.
I'm sure a bunch of those people never even opened it, but
right.
they had a subscription.
Yes, right, and they're getting it. So now it's like that's a way to fund. Look.
It's a cute way to funnel money.
The corruption that exists when you're not spending your own money, it's so easy.
It's so easy.
Right, it's
that's
so
what
easy.
They're finding
and,
out.
And they think that they're entitled to it now,
yeah.
and they're not.
They're not.
They're not. And
yeah.
it sucks if you're losing your job. I feel
Fauci's
horrible.
Well, and we're starting, maybe it's a sidebar, but I mean, we're starting to get this feel, or I'm getting this feel that people are continuing to ask, when are we getting our $5,000? When are we getting our $5,000 with all this money that's been saved? It's like, we don't deserve the $5,000. This is COVID money almost.
Well, that was part of Trump's, if you
know,
will, his
but,
bombast. Like he threw that out there as red meat to get people to back Doge.
Right.
Yeah. And
but,
he shouldn't have done that.
But I think there are
just cut our taxes.
But I think there are citizens believing there's a check coming our way.
There's not a check coming
there's
our way.
No.
And it's like,
no.
folks, there's not. And no. don't wait for it.
No.
If there is, great. I'll take it and I'll put it in a bank and whatever.
But, didn't Bush do that like, I don't know, 20 years
oh,
ago?
Oh, it was like
everybody got
$600.
Or, yeah.
This is a little different
yeah.
though because,
but,
look, we have allocated money that it turns out we didn't need and it came from the taxpayers. And look, we've talked about this with Glenn. Like, all right, so we've got the end of the year. We got to spend all this money
yeah.
because we need to get
right.
it next year.
Yeah.
Well, I think what they're saying is we don't need it next year. We're going to give it back to you. It's sort of symbolic. I hope I get $5,000, right?
I'd just as soon
you take all that conglomerate and pay down the damn debt with
that's
it.
Right.
But you know you're going to get taxed on the $5,000.
No. That's a refund.
That's not.
Is it?
Yeah,
oh,
that's
okay.
A refund.
I hope
yeah.
not. Okay. Anyway,
that's a refund.
Because
I hope if that's not a refund, it's really $3,000.
So,
exactly.
So on that famous show anyway. Of yours, you guys also, and I went there, but you guys, it was a great show. You guys also talked about sales taxes, and I got stimulated on that topic because just this week. The transit authority here in Central Ohio, just this week, people voted it in. I don't know why they did this, but they voted in a half of a penny or 0.5% additional tax for COTA, which is the Central Ohio Transit Authority, the transit authority for Central Ohio. So what did that do? That made the CODA service area, which extends into Delaware County, Union County, Licking County, to some extent in those counties, wherever they're doing service, plus Franklin County. So this big octopus, the sales tax went up 0.5%, making the average sales tax, like here in Franklin County, 8%. So I decided to look at what other states that don't even have an income tax, right? So Ohioans, we are so overtaxed in this state that our governor is spending money on crap like Intel and whatever. Like he's a spendaholic. Like he's as bad as any Democrat. He's truly a rhino. And so I decided to look up what Florida and Texas have for taxes. And it turns out Florida state tax is 6% sales tax. If you add on local options, the max it can go to in Florida is 7.5%. In Texas, the state tax is 6.25%. The max it can go is another 2%, the max. So that doesn't mean locals have to go to 8.25, but they have the option to do it if the voters voted in. Ohio's at 8% on his sales tax because of this CODA thing. And we have an income tax on top of it that Florida and Texas don't even have an income tax.
Yeah, well, as Glenn pointed out, though, they have other means of revenue in Florida and Texas that we don't have. We don't have a tourism industry that helps fund all this stuff.
No, he's right. Yeah.
So, you know,
they also don't have all this largesse that we have.
That's right. So you have to look at these things. It's a multifaceted problem. Again, to quote Thomas Sowell, very, very rarely is an outcome attributable to a single cause.
A single thing.
Yeah. So there's a lot more that needs to go into that. So I think it's an oversimplification for Vivek to say, just to come in and say, I'm going to eliminate this tax. I'm going to eliminate income tax.
Well, and did you hear Trump? He said anybody making less than $150,000, no federal income tax.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. I hope it does, but it's not going to happen.
Well, you know,
they're going to collect the money. The dike is going to start leaking somewhere else.
The top 1% of federal income taxpayers pay for 60% of the federal.
Well, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know, 150,000. I wonder how many of those people, I wonder really how much tax they are paying. Probably not as much as we think, really. It'd be interesting to see.
Oh, they're paying a chunk.
But I bet, what do you think? It's like 15% maybe?
I think it's about 20% probably.
20, okay.
I mean, that's a chunk of money.
Because that's like
the boom right there.
Mm-hmm. But I think Trump's thinking if this tariffs thing.
Individually or household, I don't know. I mean, how you shake
like,
that
like
up,
he's going to cut the income tax. If tariffs really start bringing in and if the economy starts booming, you know how tax cuts almost always results in more income to the federal government. If you cut the income tax.
It does. Because it does.
Historically, it's been shown. You're right.
John F. Kennedy, Reagan, like, you know, tax cuts, and then the economy starts responding.
Well, I think a lot, there's probably more causes to that, such as the people who tend to cut taxes are also tending to cut regulation.
Yeah.
And that's going to, it's like, then you have this, like, there's lots of things happening.
A perfect storm.
Yeah.
Well, and even to that $150,000 limit, people think, well, that you're helping the rich. It's like, that's actually probably about middle to upper middle class.
That's right. That's sort of right there in that combined household income of 150. Look, if you're making less, it's not a knock on anybody.
Right, exactly.
But that's a very average income, I think.
These days.
It is.
Yeah, these days. And, you know.
I mean, that's a husband and wife each making 75.
Correct.
That's right. Yeah.
And look at it that way. Exactly.
Yeah. Which you're not backstroking through money. I mean, you've got a couple kids,
you've got to watch your budget.
Right.
Big time.
Exactly. Or you get kids in college or whatever the case. The money's flowing out. You're not banking 75.
You can't buy that BMW, Norm, because the tariffs are too high.
So Steve is also a federal courts practitioner. So like. We have an expert in the house on this topic.
Expert's a tough word. Expert's a very bloated word.
But listen, I've even gone down to court with Steve and seen him in action. He's a very good attorney, and I've seen him in federal court. Steve's got it on. So this topic is extremely vexing to me, and it's for years. Like, I didn't like it under Obama. Supreme Court Justice Kagan has come out against these federal district courts doing a national TRO or a national injunction.
Yeah.
And I was listening, and then I'll let Steve, because he's a guy. But I was listening to one of these professors, the talking head people that they have on, and they said that these district court judges that are blocking Trump, and I guess it's up to like 150 federal cases on things like, you know, making the airplane turn around with the Trinity people on board, and in cuts at you know, NPR, whatever, you know, like they're trying to reverse all kinds of things using temporary restraining orders and injunctions. And this expert, Steve, I'll just assume he's right, but I did Google the National Law Review. They indicate that on TROs, they're not immediately appealable. So one of the games that they're playing when they go to these district court judges and they issue a TRO is they make the White House do this big, slow, you know, trying to undo the TRO, whereas an injunction, what they say, is immediately appealable.
Well, you're talking about something that's either a final appealable order or not a final appealable order. But the bigger picture is this, and I'll talk about that in a second. The bigger picture is this. We have, we hear these news stories, federal judge blocks Trump. And the message that they're really sending is what Trump did was unconstitutional. But what they're not telling you is that the people who filed against Trump carefully picked the judge in a place, in a federal district that would side with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, because it's not obvious that just because that judge says the federal judge blocked, it's not obvious that that'll remain intact. So that's the first point. This, the idea that we have a federal district court, say in Columbus, Ohio, could issue an injunction that would stop the entire country from doing something is a little far-fetched, right? It's like, it encourages what we call in law forum shopping. We go pick a friendly judge, we get an answer, and then ha 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 ha. And then somebody else goes to a different jurisdiction and says, well, I'm going to block. It is a bad practice. I don't think there's any set rule or congressional law on it regarding the jurisdiction of a federal district judge to enjoin the entire country. What may come out of this, what I'm praying comes out of this, is some semblance of order regarding that practice, because it's not good for anybody.
No.
It's just not good.
I mean, Kagan's a Democrat. She's against it.
Yeah. Yeah,
it goes to that federal court. What's the next step? And so what's the end run?
Well, and this is what Norm's talking about. Yeah. So you get a TRO, temporary restraining order. The issue is, and I don't know the answer definitively, whether a TRO is a final appealable order. I think you can go appeal that to the circuit court above and try to get that undone. But it's an injunction would be a permanent relief that you can then appeal and get a decision on the merits. A temporary restraining order, you're appealing things like, is there irreparable harm? What's the likelihood of success on the merits of the case? There's like a bunch of factors that I've talked about before. And, you know, so it creates a procedural hurdle, an entanglement to challenge it. So you get a federal judge in a certain friendly location, typically D.C. Circuit, and they're going to enjoin the act everywhere.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. I've talked about different options with different lawyers, even guys I disagree with. And, you know, one of my friends, we were kicking around the idea of, like, we need – in Ohio, we have something called the Court of Claims, which is if you sue the state, you go to the Court of Claims. Lawyers call it the Court of No Claims because there's no jury. And, you know, you're asking the state to – rule against itself, so you can do the math.
That's like the IRS hearings.
Right, that's right. Yeah, right. That's right. We'll tell you whether we lose.
Yeah.
Right.
But you, we kicked around the idea of creating a court for this. You know, so there's a court, a place you can go.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe you can control how those judges get picked. I don't know. Because what's going on is political forum shopping.
Yeah.
And if you don't think, if you like it now because it's against Trump, you won't like it later when it's against you. All right. So,
are conservative judges. Forum shop them.
It'll flip.
We saw that under Biden administration. Right. I can't tell you specifics, but I know we talked about it.
So, Steve, my understanding is federal district court judges, that's a lifetime appointment.
It's a lifetime. My dad used to say that literally the federal judge is second to only the Holy Ghost himself because there's hardly any checks and balances. And like when Trump sort of spewing or, you know, sort of rhetorically saying, I'm going to impeach him. It's like, even that, you can't.
Well, in our state judge system,
at
least starting at the common pleas level and going up, maybe even muni I'm not sure. But we elect our judges, you know, and our Supreme Court. And in the federal system, you know, they're all bitching, oh, Elon's not elected. Well, neither are the 700 district court judges. Yeah. And they're not elected either.
And there's no compare. Like the thing about Elon not being elected, it's ridiculous. All this other crap. It's like, look,
he's an advisor.
He was appointed and hired by the executive branch of government to dismantle the executive branch of government
and revert power back to the state
and give it back to the people.
Yeah.
Right. So. Yeah. I get it.
Can you imagine Hitler? They called Trump Hitler. Can you imagine Hitler hiring somebody like Elon Musk to take power away from Hitler,
right.
and put it back to Bavaria?
Right.
Come on, man.
It is about the most anti-authoritarian thing you could do.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to dismantle the authority of the federal government to tax and spend your money.
So, Steve, constitutionally, if I understand it, the articles in the Constitution that create Congress, give Congress the power to create a judiciary. So the federal judiciary, not the Supreme Court, but the 11 circuits and the 700 some odd district court judges, those are creations of Congress. They created the judicial system by legislation.
Yeah.
And so to your point, if they want to limit the scope of what district court judges can review or what their impact is, I guess they can do that.
Or you could carve out a court to deal with injunctions. Because then there's a central place.
For nationwide injunctions.
Yes.
And then give the White House a chance to immediately appeal.
Create a process.
So that this doesn't drag on.
Congress could do that. Yeah.
So when I'm horrified by the federal government, this also came out, that finally those guys that they captured 25 years ago that committed the 9/11 attacks are finally going to get tried, right?
Mm.
It's been 25 years.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. So that, Khalil, whatever it is that they waterboarded, they're finally going to get around to trying him? I mean.
Their retirement age right now, right?
Dude, it's been, it's justice years. Delay.
A baby becomes a man in that time frame.
Yes.
I mean, I'm just blown away. Yes. And this, I think this is one of the big mistakes that George Bush Jr. made, was turning that entire matter into a police, like he viewed it as a law enforcement thing, and they approached it that way. And I think, like, those guys should have been put up against a wall and shot.
Yeah, like, was it a military court? Was it a criminal justice matter? Was it some version of both? It sort of ended up with this weird hybrid.
Yeah.
And like that's when the worst of the worst happens.
That's when the worst happens, man. Yeah.
It's because people operate in these shadows and do stuff that there's no rules for.
3,000 victims, which means 3,000 families and extended families, they're waiting 25 years for justice. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
Well, we
got to wind down.
Want to do some good and bad?
Yeah,
let's do some good and bad.
Yeah.
Thank you, Steve. That was really good on the judges thing.
Yeah.
I would love to see that. I mean, I really
would.
That's
a great proposal.
I would love to see that.
A single nationwide injunction court.
Yeah.
That you can go blab to and get a quick
answer. I don't profess to have all the answers, but.
That's a great idea.
How do you keep that non-political?
Well, I was just going to say, don't make them political appointments.
Right.
Instead, maybe elect people.
Maybe elect.
Okay.
You know? Well, that's political. But
well, I don't mean. I said don't make them political appointments.
But at least there would be a place
of accountability too.
Like, what I like about that too is I think we should do that for election matters, so that, because otherwise it's a fait accompli. Like, you know,
that's right.
Carrie Lake goes to court in Arizona, and by the time they dispose of the case, it's May. And her opposition's already been governor.
That's right.
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
We need to resolve some things quickly.
The idea of that the opposition to an executive action can pick a court anywhere in the country to challenge it based on a judge that they know will likely rule in their favor.
Right.
That is trouble.
And then slow walk it.
And then slow walk it. That is trouble.
Yeah.
That's trouble.
Yeah,
and if it's not trouble to you now, because like I said, if it's not trouble to you now because you don't like Trump, it'll be trouble to you later when somebody else on the other side is doing it to you.
Right. Well, you got 77 million people that voted for Trump. He got the popular, you know, he just barely, like just a tick over 50%. But at any rate, 77 million people on one hand, and then a single judge on the other hand can just foil what they voted for. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. All right. So wonderfully outrageous. Norm, what you got?
So my happy thing, well, let me do my bad thing. So up in Thompson, Ohio, a guy reached for his donut, holding a cup of coffee, reached for a donut, and he dropped it on the carpet. So he leans over further and veers off out of his lane and hits somebody head on, sending two people to the hospital. One had to be cut out of the car. And then the road was closed down for 4 hours. So I beg you people, I beg you people, please eat, do your cell phone stuff while you're parked.
Wow.
Oh my God. You just can't be rest. He literally, the state patrol said the guy dropped a donut and that's what caused the accident.
Damn.
So it sounds funny, but one car was flattened. The pictures are unbelievable if you see them on the, I don't know how the person lived. Mm. So that's my bad thing. My good thing is speed cameras under new legislation have been banned in Ohio for all counties and townships. But because home rule is in our constitution, cities in Ohio can still use speed cameras. But counties and townships, unincorporated areas, that's gone.
Yeah.
Good. I love that.
Yeah, yeah. Bad thing, we discussed it for me in regards to the tariffs, kind of playing it out. And I feel better about that we kind of see eye to eye on where is this going. But still, it's concerning. A good thing, a Grafton Correctional Institute in Ohio has implemented a program where incarcerated adults train service dogs for families in need.
That's pretty cool.
It's called Wags for Kids. And these, you know, it's low level guys, but they're in there.
But those are expensive dogs.
Exactly. Ooh. And the video I saw was like, you know, these guys.
I think Grafton's a camp. It's a low security place.
Yeah. Yep. But these guys are feeling like one quote of it was that he says, I've done more bad things in my life than good, but I'm now starting to equal out because of this program.
Good.
That, you know what? Those little things should not be just waved off. We're now helping guys maybe turn their lives around. That we don't have to pay for them to be in correctional facilities.
Yeah, that, look, anything, you know, anything that,
and you've dealt with a lot of this.
I dealt with a lot of it, and anything that gives. See, the problem with prisons, and you know, I'm not taking a stance on it necessarily, but the problem, I'm suggesting the problem without a solution. Mm. We incarcerate guys in their 20s, and then 15 years later, they're not the same person. They're just not.
Yeah.
Now you've got to punish people, and you can give them life in prison or whatever, but. You know, your brains are developed differently. Everything changes. Everything happens. So, like what you're talking about is like giving people a chance to actually do some good.
Yeah.
And you may have to keep them incarcerated, but at least do some good while you're there. Yeah. Right. And give people some meaning to walk in a direction other than their own, you know, self-interest.
Right.
So,
exactly.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So my good and bad is all combined, and it's a little bit different. It's ICE, the Iceman. Val Kilmer died.
Oh, yeah.
So it's sad that he died. I mean,
I'm your Huckleberry.
That's my good. I went back and I didn't watch all my favorites of his, but man, was he good.
He was.
Man, was
that
he good.
That scene with Johnny Ringo.
Oh, it's a masterpiece.
Come on, where he's twirling the little tin cup.
My hypocrisy only goes so far. Yeah, it's so good. It's so good. I mean, it was such a, maybe like the apex of acting. Across the board. Like
he was terrific.
That character is so good.
Yeah.
That,
did you know he sang those songs in The Doors?
Yes.
And I think he had a little bet with, what's his name? Who directed that?
Oliver Stone.
Oliver Stone. He had a little bet that if you could tell the difference, then if you can't tell the difference, then you have to let me sing. He couldn't.
I could not.
Yeah.
Right. It was, in fact, when I was told that years later after I saw the movie, I said, I just figured they piped in.
No, he did the singing.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And like he became Jim Morrison.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Catch a Val Kilmer movie this weekend somewhere. Watch
one. Oh, man.
Go back to, what's the science one? It's actually, they're all good.
Yeah, you know, Top Gun. The original, I mean, all of them. Yeah, just live the moment.
The final Top Gun movie.
Thank goodness that they did that.
All the dudes needed Kleenex in that office scene where, you know, like they sort of like said goodbye to each other.
Because they knew he's gone.
Yeah.
They knew he was going. And so it's horrible. But then it's great because this guy left a legacy of great characters.
Batman.
And you know what else?
On and on.
You know what else, though? I don't know anything about his politics. And I don't give a rat's ass.
No, I don't know.
He didn't make it political.
No, he did not.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I have no clue.
It's like, just a cool dude.
He just did his job, and he did it great.
Yes, he did.
He did it great.
One of the epic
greatly,
actors.
Greatly. He did it well.
Mm-hmm. I even like that shitty movie with Al Pacino and Robert De Niro.
It's phenomenal.
It's a phenomenal movie. Right. But it's a bang-bang movie. Like, it's not but intellectual.
It's more than that. It's more than that. The Iceman's character, Val Kilmer's character, is
awesome in that
is
movie.
It's awesome. And I read a story that—
He just needed money. Remember the thing? Like, my family, like my wife and kids, like, I need money. And man, when he shoulders up that auto, you know, like, and you're robbing a bank, it's just like your hair stands up.
Man,
this is a guy getting money.
Like, I guess there was a drill sergeant in the Marines who used as a training example how Val Kilmer quickly changed magazines.
It was unbelievable.
Oh, wow.
He was great in that.
Yeah. Wow. Really, really, really great in that movie. So I'm sure he did some stuff that was less than great, but the stuff we're talking about was great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was great.
He was really
And I think largely, I don't care what his politics were, I just like that I didn't know.
Yes. Yeah. Isn't it kind of nice?
Yeah.
It is nice.
It is.
Because, like, I have trouble watching De Niro movies now, and I love The Deer Hunter.
Yeah,
and
he's
so
a great,
many,
great actor.
The
great
taxi
craft.
Driver.
Right, yeah.
But screw you, dude.
Oh, dude, like, you're bringing me down. And Alec Guinness, I love The Hunt for Red October. And then
Alec Guinness.
Yeah.
Now you're talking about Obi-Wan Kenobi here.
Yeah. I'm thinking of beer again. Sorry.
All right. Well,
Steve, that was outstanding. Yeah. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah. Well, look, if you
Val
guys,
Kilmer.
We are brought to you by Harper Plus Accounting. If you want your accounting done, I don't even think it has to be in Ohio. I think he could help you almost anywhere, especially if you're a larger business. And, you know, I know he's got clients out of state. But Glenn Harper over at Harper Plus Accounting takes care of our books, could take care of yours. Doesn't mean he's the only sponsor, has to be the only sponsor. If you've got some thoughts and ideas, you want to sponsor one of the segments of our show, just reach out. You can do that at commonsenseohioshow.com. Check us out on the socials. Leave us a comment. Send us a question. We are coming at you right from the middle. Till next week.